You know you're the mastermind. Run, run, Rudolph. Randolph ain't too far behind.
We made it.
Can you believe it? Hope we didn't forget anything.
I made my family disappear.
Kevin, you're completely helpless.
You know, Kevin, you're what the French call les incompétents.
Kevin, I'm going to feed you to my tarantula.
Kevin, you are such a disease.
There are 15 people in this house, and you're the only one who has to make trouble.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
I made my family disappear.
So today at church, we're talking about how to make your family disappear. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Hey, Merry Christmas. Well, almost Christmas. Happy Advent. Christmas is coming. Can you believe it? It's incredible to think that we're just days away from Christmas Eve services. And so as we're still preparing our hearts for Easter in the season of, or Easter, for Christmas in the season of Advent. Come on, Pastor. Give me a break. That was ridiculous. The season of Advent, it helps prepare our hearts for Christmas. When Jesus came into the world as a child. And the thing is that Kevin, in this movie Home Alone, he is not having a great Advent. His Advent is kind of tough because his family, well, they're the type he wants to make disappear. See, he's the smallest, he's the youngest. So his cousins and his siblings, they beat up on him and they call him names. And when someone else does something, he gets in trouble. And it's really, really tough for Kevin because Kevin, he has no power in this family situation. Kevin is struggling, and he gets in trouble one night, and like all good parents do, when he gets in trouble, he gets sent into the attic. So, that was a joke. For those of you that are like, does he send his kids to the attic? No, I don't do that. I don't do that. And he wishes that his family would disappear. Because if only he was in charge, it would be different. Oh, if he was in charge, oh, he would be so happy. If he was in charge, he would be so free. And he gets his wish, right? Because, well, in this movie, by the way, it does not work in 2023. You could not, I know that they've made 4 remakes, okay? Or there's 4 Home Alones, all right? Which, I mean, 4, that's a lot. That's too many, okay? The first one was great. Second, maybe after that. It's like, you're just trying to build a franchise here, okay? It's like, can I just get an amen in the house of the Lord? Home Alone 1 is the real Home Alone, okay? Thank you for the one woo over there. I appreciate it. These are important opinions that I need to share with you. So Kevin, he wishes that they would be gone, and he doesn't know that they're actually on their way to Christmas in Paris, that they'd forgotten him. And so he thinks that he just magically wished them away, but the truth is there was a power outage, and that power outage caused them to sleep in, and then in a mad rush, they forgot about the kid that they stuffed in the attic. Kevin was left home alone. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like you're just the small one? You're the one that gets forgotten? Or maybe even with God, that maybe God has sort of left you home alone? He's got other things that maybe he's more interested in doing? Or maybe you feel like Kevin, where, man, if I could just, if my boss was out of the picture, then this place would be totally different. Or, you know, for me, like, tell me if you know this is true. Even if you're in charge, doesn't mean you're in control. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm saying, because we've been doing an advent calendar. You know what an advent calendar is? It's where there's like this little box of stuff, like little, I don't know, like they pull out a little box or open a little bag and there's like a jelly bean, okay? And I've been eating all these, it's for my kids, okay? So I have a 4-year-old, I have a 6-year-old. And they love Advent because they get jelly beans or they get a little trinket, a little toy or whatever. Every morning they come downstairs and they're like, oh, it's one day closer to Christmas. Oh, I gotta open it, this thing up and I gotta eat a jelly bean and it's 4 a.m, yeah! And all Advent long, I might be in charge of my kids, I might be in charge of my house, but my kids, they influence me, and it impacts my life. And we all have people in our lives, we all have situations in our lives, we all have people that have influence, where we wish, oh, if only I was in charge, I'd get more sleep. If only I was in charge, it would be better. If only I was in charge, it'd be different. But here's the sad reality is that there's always someone with more power, right? There's always someone who has more power. And for Kevin, it was the wet bandits. Remember the wet bandits? See, this is Harry and Marv. Marv? I think it's Marv. We have Pastor Marv. We have Marv in Home Alone, okay? So they come to steal stuff from Kevin's house thinking that the family is going to be gone. And of course, Kevin tortures them and does all these things that would kill a normal human being, but they somehow survive. They're tough. They're really tough bandits, these wet bandits. And so they're going through all these things, trying to get the goods in Kevin's house. And the fight's not fair. Because they're just way, they're bigger, they're older. They can drive. They have crowbars. And it was a lot like the people that were reading the book of Revelation when John wrote it down and shared it. See, John was given this revelation from God. And in the passage for today, it's a revelation about what is it like when Jesus comes back. And the people that were reading it, they felt this reality. They felt like Kevin. They felt like either God had forgotten about them and had something better to do because Jesus, you know, he said that he would be back soon, and it's been years. Or for us, it's been 2,000 years. What gives, Jesus? And there seems to be all these other people that are more powerful. I mean, look at the Romans. See, they would read the book of Revelation. They would look out the window, and they could see a Roman guard or someone in a Roman battalion that they might have brutalized their neighbor. They might have taken part in destroying the temple in Jerusalem in 70 AD. They were oppressed. They were hurt. They were hopeless, and it didn't look like Jesus was in charge. It didn't look like God was in charge. It looked like Rome was in charge, because there's always someone that's got more power than you or some influence on you. And so this is what Kevin faced. This is what the readers of Revelation faced. How about you? Who's the person in charge for you? And even if you feel like, well, it's me, I'm in charge. I call the shots in my life, and things are going pretty good, thank you very much. Have you ever noticed how we always look back on our life and say, man, I didn't make the best decisions for me back then? Did you know future you will probably say that about present you? We all need help in being in charge of our life. And of course, we're in church, so the pastor is going to say, well, God is ultimately in charge, right? Jesus, the Revelation says that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And a little bit earlier in Revelation, it says that he shall reign forever and ever. You can see all the chairs and whatnot behind me for the cantata. If you haven't been to the cantata yet, there's another session of cantata tonight, and you got to come. Because it's a glimpse of heaven. It's a glimpse of heaven to hear, and this song that's sung at the cantata every single year, Handel's Messiah. You've heard it. Even if you're not a church person, you know that song because it's in movies, it's in commercials, it's all over, and it's been around for hundreds of years. And it says, King of Kings, and then they say, Hallelujah, 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 Lord of Lords, Hallelujah, and they say Hallelujah like a million times, okay? Has anyone ever sung this song, either in the cantata or in choir at school or anything like that? Raise your hand if you've sung that song. You said Hallelujah a lot, didn't you? And Hallelujah, what's it mean? It means praise God. Here's a question for you. If Jesus were to come back, like in 20 minutes, I'm not saying that he is, maybe not, I don't know. But if he were to come back in 20 minutes, would you be saying hallelujah? Or would you be kind of scrambling like, oh no, I gotta go do this or fix this or change this? Remember when you were a kid and you'd be home alone and you would be doing whatever that you're doing and your parents probably said, make sure you clean up this thing, and you didn't clean up the thing, and then you hear the door or the garage and then you're like, oh no! And you go and you're starting to try to clean it up, and then your parents walk in and they're like, I know exactly what's going on here. Me neither. I've never had that problem. That's just you, huh? Okay. See, when Jesus shows up, will it be hallelujah for you, or will that just be scary? And if it feels kind of scary, it's not totally your fault. Because a lot of Christians over history have really misinterpreted this passage of scripture from Revelation that we're looking at today, of Jesus coming back, the second coming of Jesus Christ. They don't interpret it as hallelujah. They interpret it as doom and gloom. And it is doom and gloom. But I want to show you for who. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, well, he's on your side. So take a look at what it says in Revelation 19. This is John. He's recording this vision that he gets. Then I saw heaven opened and a white horse. Everyone say white horse. White horse. What was a white horse for in ancient times? It wasn't to ride into battle. A white horse was a victory horse. It was a horse that you would ride on the victory parade. When you come back into town and like, we won the battle, you would ride a white horse. You wouldn't ride your battle horse. So here we see someone on a white horse, and its rider is named Faithful and True. Our Bible translators capitalize that. Can you guess who it is? He's faithful, he's true, he judges fairly, and he wages a righteous war. And believe me, for those that were reading this revelation for the very first time in the first century, he wages a righteous war would have been very hopeful for them because they saw all sorts of unrighteous war. You know what I'm talking about? You ever seen anything like that? See, it goes on and it says, on his head there were many crowns, on that next slide. It's going to come up, I promise. There it is. On his head were many crowns. Now, I couldn't help but laugh a little bit, and I thought, like, if you heard it read out loud, and you're like, many crowns? Like, he had, like, tiny little crowns. No, it wasn't tiny little crowns, and it wasn't little crowns so that they all could fit on his head. Back in the day, what would happen is that when a king would take over some other land, he would take that king's crown, and they would add it to his crown. Either they'd melt it down and make his crown bigger, or they would actually even attach it and they would stack them up. And on Jesus' head, there were many crowns. You know what that means? The kings and lords that we face, even governments, the spiritual principalities, the kings and lords, the dominions, they are laying their crowns down in front of Jesus. And Jesus is the conquering, victorious, righteous king. His robe was dipped in blood. That means the battle had already been fought. They weren't coming to go get their robes more bloody and you know, take a sword and slice up all the sinners, which is what most people read this passage as. Oh no, here comes Jesus on a horse. And if you Google it, go ahead and just Google the second coming of Christ, and click Google Images. See what you get. You will have a lot of fun looking at some very scary things. But did you know Revelation wasn't trying to get someone to create some corny cartoon of what it would be like when Jesus came back? Revelation, the point of apocalyptic literature, it's to get your mind engaged so that you can imagine and feel within your heart what it would be like when Jesus does indeed come again. And so we see that his robe is dipped in blood. He's already won the battle. His title is the Word of God. John, who wrote Revelation, also wrote the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. His title is the Word of God. From his mouth, the scripture goes on, came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. And you say, well, there it is. They're going to strike down that nation that I don't like. Jesus is coming. He's going to strike down that organization that I don't like. He's going to slice them up. That's what I want. But is that what it says? Remember, this is apocalyptic literature. Where's the sword coming from? From his mouth. Why is it coming from his mouth? Is he one of those carnival guys, you know, that like, no, it's not a performance. It's the words that come out of his mouth. What's proclaimed from God, that's what will strike down the nations. That's what will take all of the things that stand in the way of true justice and true peace, the systems and principalities and dominions that get in front of love and life for the sake of a system or for one person or another. Those are done. And it's God's word that will end them. You think Jesus is coming when it says that he's going to rule with an iron rod to smack the sinners of the world with the iron rod on the head? No, he's coming because there's people that are sinners, and he wants to break the sin off of them. He's coming because there are people who are evil, and he wants to separate evil from them. He's coming because there are people who are dead or dying, and he wants to separate death from them. And then there's an Old Testament passage that says, for God, it's like he has an iron rod and he's smashing clay pots. Death before us is a mighty, mighty foe. But before God, it's just a clay pot. It's going to break. And he will release the fierce wrath of God. And who will that be on? You and me, if we don't have the house cleaned up good enough. You and me, if we, you know, didn't do it, you know, life and everything perfectly. You and me, if we don't do all the things that we know that we should do when we should do them, but the truth is none of us do we? None of us. Does God's grace end on Judgment Day? Does God's grace end when he returns? Or is it who he is? Is this revelation of God showing us that we have a king that's already won? And so when you face the things that you face, when you have, you know, the Marvs and Harrys that are breaking into your home, when you have the things that are, the fights that are unfair that you're facing, and you're like, well, there's always someone that's more powerful than me. There's always something that's getting in the way. There's always something. But you need to know this, that there, when you face those things, there is someone more powerful than them. There's always someone more powerful. And his name is Jesus Christ. There's always someone more powerful than cancer, more powerful than this the shabby economy, more powerful than the grocery prices, more powerful than the breakup that you've experienced or the mental health stuff that you're going through. He is more powerful. And maybe you're thinking, well, then why is he leaving us in it? I kind of feel like I'm left home alone here. I just want you to know that's a pretty normal feeling. That's an okay feeling to have. You know, Peter says he's not being slow in the way that we think about being slow. For him, a day, it's like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And, you know, Jesus, he ascended into heaven 2 days ago. I mean, 2,000 years ago, or whatever it is. But it doesn't make it feel better, does it? It doesn't make it feel better that you're in the middle of it. It doesn't make it feel better that whether he comes back in the next 10 minutes or whether he comes back 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now, that we still go through things, that we still face these enemies. But on top of every crown is the crown of Jesus Christ. There will always be someone with more power. And so the kings in your life, the lords in your life, the thieves who break in, there's going to be a day when they're done. What's yours? What's the one you're facing right now? That maybe you'd rather not consider right now because it's emotionally hard. It has some power over you, some influence over you. It causes struggle in your life. And maybe you're at the point where, like, even if I defeated that foe, I know some other foe would come along. There's always someone with more power. You're right. There is always Jesus. And Jesus said to his disciples before he died, this was then at his last supper that he shared with them. He said, guys, I'm going to die. And they were very shocked by that. They didn't like that at all. Because it was their master, their Lord, their king. The one who was supposed to, you know, chop up the Roman Empire and slice them into pieces and then we'd be free. But Jesus said, I don't want to chop up Romans. I want to defeat the sin that's causing them to sin against you and God. And so he says, where I'm going, you can't go yet. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when it's ready, hear the promise of Jesus. It's for his disciples, it's for you. And when it's ready, I will come and I will get you and you will be with me where I am. There will be a day. And from now until that day, Christians will say, I hope that it's soon. I hope that it's soon. Because there's powerful enemies here. And faith in Jesus Christ is saying, but I know that there's always someone with more power. And when Jesus does return, all of those enemies, they won't see what's coming. The truth is, those enemies, they catch up to us, don't they? You might have a really great health plan, but your body is eventually going to deteriorate. You might have a really good 401k, but eventually your money's going to run out. You might have all of the things in your life that your kingdom is looking great right now. You've really got a lot in your control. Do you know how many times as pastors we talk to someone that says, man, everything was great until fill in the blank. One sickness, one accident, a divorce, all sorts of things that they just show up like a thief in the night. And the thieves, they catch up to us, don't they? But we have a thief in the night too. And that thief, well, he sees you. And Jesus sent his Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, to live in us as Christians. So you're not alone. The same power that raised him from the dead is inside of you. And from now until then, we hold on with trust that his promise is true, that he's preparing a place for you. And when it's ready, he will come. And he has more power. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And so even when the thieves catch up to us, no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard they try, they will be defeated. Take a look how this happened in Kevin's life in Home Alone.
Calling the cops.
Wait. He wants us to follow him. I got a better idea. Come on.
Hiya, pal. We outsmarted you this time. Get over here.
What are we gonna do to him, Harry?
I'll do exactly what he did to us. I'm gonna burn his head with a blowtorch.
Go ahead, smash his face with an iron.
First thing I'm gonna do is bite off every one of these little fingers, one at a time.
You home.
Old man Marley, the shovel slayer. Man, turns out he wasn't an enemy, he was a hero. And those thieves, they didn't know what hit him. Turned out Kevin wasn't alone. And there's going to be a day where you go, whoa. Whoa. Hallelujah. I wasn't alone. And now I'm home. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. That they would have it to the full. And that goes for this side of heaven, but it goes for eternity as well. That there is going to be a day where your thief is done. There's going to be a day where your thief can no longer hurt you. There's going to be a day where that bad king or that bad lord has got to submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus is not just one kind option. You know, I got to just choose what king I want. I got to choose what lord I want. There's lots of things you get to choose, but it's not like Netflix. You don't just get a between a bunch of different things like, wow, I could pick this religion or I could pick this way of life or I could pick that. There's going to be a day where there's one option. And everyone that knows that option is going to say, that's the one that I want. I am not sad that I have less options. I am thrilled that I have this one. And I have the fullness of it. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Who's your thief? Because your thief is done. When your thief faces Jesus, they fall. So where's your hope, church? If Jesus were to come back and, what was it, like maybe 10 minutes ago, I asked, 30 seconds, I pray it'd be a hallelujah. Because the kingdom of God is coming. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we'll sing hallelujah, not because we have to, not because we're supposed to. And we won't do that Lutheran thing where, you know, you stand in the back and you sort of mouth the words, you know, because you're like, I don't want anyone to hear my voice. Like, I get it. I'm the same way. I don't want the person next to me here because I don't want to distract them from their worship. Okay? You know what I mean? Yeah, right. But believe me, on that day, you're not going to care what your voice sounds like. On that day, you're going to go wild. Even the Lutherans will go wild, saying hallelujah. And that's why we pray this prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray, the Lord's Prayer. There's a line in it that says, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That kingdom that's coming, did you know? You can enter it right now. Right now. You can enter it right now. And all you got to do is you take whatever kingdom or situation that you've been holding on tightly to say, okay, I got to be the Lord of this. You got to be the king of this. I got to clean up all my sin before Jesus gets home. I got to do all the things. None of us are going to have a clean house. When Kevin's parents got home, this movie's so unrealistic. It's made in the 90s, and so I guess it gets a pass, but like, the house was clean. Yeah, right, Kevin. That house was huge. You didn't clean it. You tarred and feathered thieves. There's no way that house would be clean. That house, that needed like serious repair. And when Jesus shows up, you're not going to have to rush and say, oh no, I got to clean things up. Because you've been praying, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. I know it's not done in my kingdom the way that it would be done in heaven. So Jesus, you come. You be the Lord of my life. You be the Lord of my sin. You be the Lord of my death. You be the Lord of the evil that I face. You be the Lord of everything that I have. You be the Lord of every situation that I find myself in. I give you all of my life. And that is how you enter the kingdom of God right now. So when he comes, we can say, hallelujah. Let me hear you say it. Say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it like you're going to say it on that day. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. What we're going to do now is we're going to sing another song with another ancient Hebrew word. Hallelujah means praise God. This song is, O come, Emmanuel. I love this song. It's one of my favorite Christmas songs. And this Emmanuel, it means God with us. And so we're praying, God, come and be with us. Open the heavens and come and be with us, because on that day, all of our enemies are done. On that day, we'll sing hallelujah. We'll rejoice. We'll rejoice for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here. He's here for you, for me. Amen? Amen. So let's sing the song and praise the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.